Well, hello, Mr. Frimston.
Mr. Thompson.
It's been quite a long time, hasn't it?
It's been 7 hours and 15. Too soon.
Too soon. We love Sinead. And we love Sinead O'Connor. The O'Connors, Mr. and Mrs. O'Connor, who were our parents and also the forefathers of Ireland. True or false?
False.
Thank you. But we're not here to talk about that today. We're here to talk about a salesperson's weapon. I don't mean the penis.
I thought you were going to allude to that. You're not supposed to say it out loud.
Sorry. I don't mean ADHD.
Right.
Not on your CV. And I don't mean Mexican supplements.
Okay. What do you mean?
So what does that leave?
Right now, I don't know.
What I mean is questions.
Mm.
And I think you said once, questions are like the Uno card to a game of Tetris.
Mm. The better the question, the bigger the fish.
Exactly, exactly. You put a question in the right place, oh God, let's play Uno. You put a question in the wrong place, what's that Uno card doing on my Tetris game?
We've all been there.
We've all been
anyway,
there. So I think a good place to start, and I always love these, like when you get a sales book or something, and it's like, try these questions. These are my favourite questions, and here's why I use them. So, Jack, I've never asked you this question before. What's your favourite question and why?
Wow. Was that your favourite question and why?
We'll never know.
Okay. So one of my favourite questions to ask, I actually like to call it the Uno reverse, which is quite fitting because we're just talking about Uno. Okay. Where would you place this question? That's a good question in itself. Well, let me tell you the question.
Okay.
I'd always front load it with something like, can I ask a weird question? If you're going to ask a weird question or a bit of a stupid question, I'd always put a softener on it. So can I ask a bit of a weird question?
Yeah.
If you were in my shoes right now, what would you do?
Where are we in the core when you use that in the conversation?
Well, I'm going to call it the what would you do sandwich, okay? And there's a reason for that. If you were in my shoes, that's a bit like the soft, crusty bread on top. And then the middle, that's where you're going to get the meat. Okay, so you've had a big conversation. Someone's asked for an email, okay? Mm. And then you would have done your email objection or whatever, or you can, or maybe use this as a bit of an alternative later on. Okay. Can I ask a bit of a weird question? Yeah. If you were in my shoes, Zach, we've been speaking for 5 to 10 minutes. You've told me that you're struggling to get in front of new people. If you don't get in front of more new clients within the next kind of couple of months, then the business is going to fail. And you're asking me to send you an email. So if you were in my shoes, what would you do right now?
Okay. And what are the responses that you get to that?
Well, sometimes they say the obvious and they say, yeah, I'd say send me an email. But what you're trying to do is you're using it as a pattern interrupt in that moment. So I really kind of disrupt them. And what I found is by using it is like, well, if I was in your email, I'd probably go away, do this or whatever. But there have been instances where you bring it to the table and they're like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. You're trying to get a prospect to see it from your point of view. And obviously you don't want to be the needy salesperson, but it's like, I'm a bit confused. That's the card that you want to be playing. I'm confused. So you've told me you have all these problems and yet you're asking me to fob it off by sending it an email. So if you were in my shoes right now, what would you do? What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. So it's basically putting the, like with all good sales practices, it's putting the accountability on the other party, or at least sharing the pressure. Yeah, I like it a lot. I like that. I like it as a qualify or disqualify as well, because I bet you could use that to just, like, actually, yeah, no, I'm all right. Let's just call it a no. I bet you can use it to kind of, not get force in, is probably out. The wrong word, but just, I'm pretty comfortable with you telling me no. Like, what would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Have you got something up your sleeve?
Just a whole lot of tattoos, baby. A lot of ink. Are you asking me what my favourite question is?
Yeah. If you had to bring one question to a gunfight, what would it be?
Well, bring one question to a gunfight.
Mm.
What's with all the guns? No. So since we've been doing sales training, one thing that's come up a lot is people accepting symptoms of problems and then using their own sort of biases and assumptions to sort of fill in what they think the problem is, which I always think is quite interesting. So I'll give you an example, right? So I have lots of manual processes, says the prospect. Yeah, that's a symptom of a problem. But some people argue, no, that's the problem, because that's what our product solves, that problem. You've got manual issues. So I actually think problem language tends to sound much simpler, and we have to pose simpler, deeper questions to get there. Okay, I'm going on a tangent here, but I'm going to round this off. So, and this is one of those questions where you've got to be comfortable being the idiot. You've got to be comfortable being like, correct me, Mr. or Mrs. Prospect. Mm. So they say, well, I'll give you an example. We've got lots of manual processes in our day-to-day operating of the business. Okay. Oh, God. This is probably going to be the most obvious question you've ever been asked, but how do you know that's a problem?
Mm.
Yeah?
And I know what they're going to say.
What are they going to say?
They're going to open up and they're going to give the actual problem.
Exactly. Which typically sounds more along the lines of, well, because it takes, let's say, because it takes so much time away from doing other things. Takes so much time away from doing other things. And then we're going to get into like deeper.
What are
and deeper.
Those things?
And it's usually stuff that we get into around, we'll be shocked. I mean, me and you've sent many a recording to each other when it's someone that, well, because I want to get home earlier to see my family. I had one guy tell a lad that used to work here that he had to fix it because he thinks if he got it wrong, he'd go to prison. That's when we got, how do you know it's a problem? Because if I don't fix it, I think at one point someone's going to catch me out on this, I'm going to go into prison. That's a fucking hell. That's about as good as it gets in terms of like, have you gone deep enough? So, yeah, like it's a really obvious one, but I see it missed all the time. We just accept, you know, a classic framework problem. Give me an example of the problem. Cool, I accept that now, and I'm just going to move on to qualifying. Whoa, hold on a second. How do you know that's a problem? Because when I ask it, I'm going to get all my impacts, my root causes. They're probably going to let me know quite a lot of detail there. So what do you think about that, Mr. Frimston?
I think it's beautiful. We were talking to a client the other day that was talking about, like, our style. And they were like, your style is just, it's deep, isn't it? I've said, don't call me that. But it's like we're really big on actually like getting deep with a prospect, a client, like discovery or cold call. Like I know that a lot of people think like we just cold call. Obviously, we'd be pretty shit if all we did is cold call and then it never led to anything. So yeah. there's two stages in that, but it's like taking it deep and really understanding the root. And I think that's what would you say? It, because for us, a qualified meeting is somebody that has the problem, but they're also motivated to fix it. There's some kind of impact and some desired future state. What would you say then to the sales gurus that say your job when booking a meeting is just to find out if they've got the problem and get them on the call?
I think, well, you've got to think of it as there is usually, someone might have a totally different sales process to this, but there's usually some time between you've booked the meeting and I'm going to have my weekend and then sit down with you after the weekend. Let's say that's an example. I'm going to look at my diary and the first meetings that are going to be the ones that I drop or move around are the ones that I'm not motivated to sit. There's no motivation there. So having a problem is fine. You know, that's enough, but I've got a hole in my shed roof. Stuff gets wet. It's a problem. When I come to move house, there's probably a lot of stuff that's going to get thrown in the bin that's been sat in that shed for a long time. That's a problem. Some wastefulness going on there, but there's no motivation to fix it. I can think of a million other things to do on the weekend. So even though I have the problem, there's no motivation there to fix it. So you've got to think there is time between you've booked the meeting And that's the bit I'm going to lean on. The motivation is the bit that's going to carry me through. And, oh, yeah, I remember what I'm sitting down with Jack to do, actually. Yeah, because I remember what my why was.
Mm. And so many people think, like, how do I stop getting ghosted? Well, yeah, you can ask this question at the end. Yeah, you can make sure that you set an agenda when you send it through. Yeah, you can pre-call them. But really, if you find out if they're motivated, if you look upstream and you find out if they're motivated to solve that problem, that is enough to stop you getting ghosted. But quality meetings, don't just put anybody through. Qualify hard, disqualify hard.
I had a guy, little anecdote here for you. He might even listen to this. One of our training students who he sat a meeting with me. There was obviously me trying to talk him out of it the whole time because I don't think you should really need to do it unless you're motivated to do it. But he said, I really pissed him off at one point because he sent me over a message asking me for some free question tips that you'd put out, like, send me your email and I'll send you the questions. And he messaged me saying, could you send me the questions? Bearing in mind, we'd had this chat about him doing the training and, you know, committing to it and getting on board. And I just responded to him, come on, mate, you're better than that. And when he got in the first session with me, he was like, that really pissed me off. But then I was like, why am I pissed off? Because I'm obviously reluctant to change and I'm not motivated enough and I need to be. And then he got himself motivated by feeling like that.
Mm.
So sometimes you've got to get people in that spot a little bit.
A little bit. Not too much. Not too
just
little.
Just enough. And I think that's
just enough.
I think that's trench and I think that's tips. I don't know about you.
That's it for me.
Ça va?